Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our preview series of the World Tour teams. And first time ever in the history, Upson de Koninck are included. The team that was continental in only 2018 have now made all the way through the Pro Continental and now World Tour. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, Upson de Koninck, or should we call it the Mathieu van der Poel team?
Yeah, well, it has felt like the Mathieu van der Poel team for a while now. Back when they were Corendon Circus years ago, we knew van der Poel for riding for this team in sort of the rainy, muddy fields of Belgium and the Netherlands in cyclocross. And slowly but surely, they have made their way through the ranks, 2019 being a huge step towards their journey to the top level. Then in 2020, now rebranded as Alpecin Phoenix, they made some big steps forward, winning their first monument with Mathieu van der Poel at the Ronde van Vlaanderen. In 2021, they began their first ever Grand Tour and to roaring success with a stage win on stage two before coming to the Tour de France, the biggest race in the world, and snatching the yellow jersey for a week, courtesy of Mathieu van der Poel. And coming into 2022 with a bit of a rebrand as Alpecin de Koninck, they continue to really climb up the ranks. And now, in 2023, they have finally clinched that World Tour license, and rightly so.
Well, one victory improvement of 34 victories compared to the 2021 season, if we look at it like that. Do you think they improved as a squad compared to the 2021 season, which was quite incredible?
Well, in terms of comparing it to 2021, I think it's very different. I think 2022 was more successful. Maybe not for van der Poel in terms of getting that yellow jersey and so forth, but he still got a Grand Tour stage and he got to wear the pink jersey for a couple of days and he still won the Ronde van Vlaanderen, let's not forget. I think the Tour de France disappointment somewhat puts a downer on his early season success. Elsewhere in the other Grand Tours, they saw great success at the Giro, proving that they are more than just a van der Poel and sprint show. Stefano Aldani won a strong breakaway stage, as did Dries de Bont, let's not forget. Then in the Vuelta a España as well, Jay Vine took some mountain stages, which I think is just another box to tick for them. They hadn't really won mountain stages beforehand. And with Jay Vine, they finally ticked that box to prove their worth as a top flight team in the World Tour in 2023, even if Jay Vine is going out the door in the new year.
With that in mind, let's look at the transfers coming in and out. As you said, there's a few faces in and out this year. There's 8 riders coming in, and Ewan, who are they?
Well, let's begin with probably the biggest name here is Søren Carl Andersen. For our Danish viewers, he's jumping ships from DSM. This was rumored in about June time, I believe, back when there were rifts between Carl Andersen and DSM. We believe somewhat linked to Tour de France omission for Søren. Nevertheless, he is coming to Alpecin de Koninck for the new year, as is Quinten Hermans, who finished in second place at Liège-Paris-Liège. The cyclocross rider and now sort of classic star will be joining the ranks. Australian sprinter and Vuelta España stage winner Caden Groves moves over from Bike Exchange, and his countryman Jensen Plowright, an up-and-coming Australian sprinter, he moves over from the Groupama development squad. From Groupama's senior team, Ramon Sinkeldam, fantastic lead-up man for Arnaud Démare, has moved to Alpecin de Koninck. This was a last-minute transfer following Sinkeldam's sinking ship at B&B Hotels. He was supposed to be moving to the French team, but he was one of the first riders to sort of find an escape route with Alpecin de Koninck. Elsewhere, Nicolas Conchi has officially signed with the senior team. He was rescued when Gazprom had their license suspended following the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February. He signed onto the development team, but rode a couple of senior races, Tour of Slovenia notably, and he will now be moving up to the senior team in 2023. And there are some other smaller riders to look out for here in terms of Robbie Hayes from Sport Vlaanderen and Jason Osborne from the Alpecin Phoenix development squad. This one's an interesting one. He's a sort of unique character here. He's a rider who was the esports world champion back in 2020. He also won the bronze medal at 2022 esports world championships. But his other domain, though, is competitive rowing. In fact, he took the silver medal in the lightweight double sculls at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and he was actually a world champion in the rowing back in Plovdiv in 2018. So this is a really, really interesting move for the rower turned cyclist, Jason Osborne.
Yeah, some very interesting signings in there. Quinton Hermans and San Carlos and definitely are going to strengthen the Classics lineup. But Ewan, who's heading the other way for Alpecin?
Well, leaving the team, we have a list of riders. As previously mentioned, Jay Vine of Australia, he's going over to UAE. Elsewhere, the other big weight here is Tim Merlier, the sprinter from Belgium and actually the double national champion. He was one of the guys who really allowed them to step up onto the top level of racing, but he'll be moving over to Soudal Quickstep in 2023. Otherwise, Floris de Tir from Belgium moves over to Bingo Power Sources, as does Guillaume van Kylsbulk, who is a strong classic star of years gone by. Elsewhere, Ed Anderson of the United States and Scott Thwaites both will not be prolonged. Scott Thwaites, in fact, is retiring. And finally, David van der Poel, brother of Mathieu van der Poel, will be moving down to the development squad level. And interestingly enough, Axel Laurens of the B&B project, he is also signed for the development team. He finished in second place at the Bretagne Classic, but he will also be able to join the senior team at some professional races. So that is an important point to make within the Alpecin de Koenig universe.
With that, Ewan, we're going to take a look at the three Grand Tours before we move into probably what's more interesting for Alpecin de Koenig, the monuments. Well, we spoke about their success in the Giro. The 2023 Giro d'Italia certainly does look very interesting. We know Alpecin de Koenig are kind of not positioning themselves in the World Tour as a Grand Tour chasing team. So how do you see their Giro team looking?
Well, yeah, over the past year, they lost their big hitter climber in Jay Vine. That leaves them a bit exposed in the mountains, but that shouldn't really take away from the fact that this team does have a lot of stage winning talent among their ranks. Looking towards Zandre Meurisser, who's ridden strong Tours de France and GC in the past, Rob Stannard of Australia, who really stepped up this year with Alpecin de Koenig. He won the Tour of Wallonia. Mikhail Gogol as well, Nicola Conti, who rode a very good Tour of Slovenia, Stefano Oldani, who won a Giro stage in 2022, as well as Gianni Vermeis, who's usually Van der Poel's right-hand man in the classics. He could also be put in the position to be in this Giro squad, hunting down breakaway stage wins. Elsewhere, I believe this team should be anchored, though, by two stars. Quinten Hermans has never ridden the Giro d'Italia, but I think there is an opening for him to do so here. He's a rider who has showed his strength in the classics and his hillier profiles. He won a stage of the Tour of Belgium this year on a tough profile on a long hilly day in the breakaway at the Giro, like we're going to have in the first week of racing. Quinten Hermans could be a guy to really stand out. And secondly, the other anchor I would say has to be Caden Groves of Australia, who made a big step up at the Vuelta a España, taking a stage win in 2022. If he were to lead the sprints here with what is a decent sprint train to some extent with Aldani, and Vermeersch, I believe that Caden Groves has it in him to get a couple of top fives in this year's Corsa Rosa.
So I think the big question is, do you think they're going to take a victory?
Yeah, they've never left the Grand Tour without a stage win. Everyone they've entered, they've left with something to cheer about. And I think that trend will continue. Even without Van der Poel at last year's Giro, they won stages with Aldani and with De Bont. I'm not 100% convinced that people would have said that they were nailed on to win a stage, but they rode well and had a good mentality that kept them through that race. And I think with some of the talent that I just listed, they have a very good shout.
But moving on, you into the Tour de France here, we definitely will have Mathieu van der Poel in the field. Not the best Mathieu van der Poel last year at the Tour de France, but how do you see them fielding? What team do you see them fielding for this one?
Yeah, we didn't see Van der Poel at full form in the 2022 Tour de France, but that was also after a really heavy opening couple of months of racing with a Giro d'Italia in his legs. Let's not forget, Van der Poel was in the breakaway a lot of the Giro, trying to get a mountain stage. I think it was maybe a bridge too far after recovering from injury. But in 2023, we hope, fingers crossed, he will have a clean run into the race like he did in 2021. The opening couple of days of racing provide a very good chance for him to try to contend for the yellow jersey once again, like he did in 2021. The two opening stages look pretty ideal for Van der Poel. If he can hang on and roll with the punches that we're probably going to be seeing from the likes of Pogacar, Guirmay, Wout van Aert, and so forth. Van der Poel, really, all he has to do is try to win one of these stages, or even try to bag a stage win later and deeper into the Tour de France, and it will be a success for him and for the team. Looking further down their roster, they have plenty of other talent here for the Tour de France to back up Van der Poel. We have Soren Anderson, who I think the synergy between them will be very interesting in the new year. They could really, really bounce off each other on some of these hilly stages and on these profiles of the opening week of the Tour de France. Similar, Sylvain Dillier and Dries De Bont, who can ride strongly on a rolling profile. So I'm very confident about Van der Poel's chances of at least winning one stage of the Tour de France.
Yeah, I don't think I really have anything to add there. I think the most interesting part of this is going into the monuments. But nevertheless, for sake of continuity, we're going to talk about the Vuelta a España.
Jesper Philipsen.
So Ewan, where Mathieu van der Poel didn't really step up to it because of the fatigue injury, etc. Before I get attacked by van der Poel fans, we saw Jesper Philipsen fill the stage winning performance for Alpecin. And how do you think he's going to fit into this jigsaw? He's down for the Tour de France already in 2023.
He's got to be. He's one of the top five sprinters in the world. And he's been riding strong Tours de France since 2021, was so close to a stage win in that edition, and last year really made that step up, proving his worth. Winning on the Champs-Élysées, I think, is enough to really solidify his name as a real A-grade sprinter. Also in 2022, he made a reputation for himself as a hardy sprinter. We've seen him win on difficult profiles in the past. His Vuelta stage in 2020 was difficult in rainy conditions. And I think at the Tour de France, we saw at Carcassonne, he weathered the hills where Fabio Jakobsen did not. He was still there in the end to really fight for it. And I think that will be a running theme into next year's race. There are a couple of days of sort of maybe sprint stages where Philipsen could really strive. Looking towards stage three, where there's a hill within the final phase of the race, that could really throw out the chances of Hunebaker, Cavendish, and Jakobsen, but really could favour Jasper Philipsen going into that final sprint. And I got to say, he's definitely in with a shot of winning a couple sprint stages at next year's race. And if he keeps that form like he did at this year's Tour de France and really aging his way into the race, backing it up at the Champs-Élysées could be on the cards.
Well, nevertheless, Ewan, for the sake of continuity, the Vuelta a España, there's no one currently on their start list. They did very well last year with Jay Vine. I can't see Mathieu van der Poel going to this. He'll probably be finishing off his season, getting ready for the cyclocross season. But who do you think they're going to be sending to this? This is lottery, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it would be super fun if we had van der Poel here and then he could tick off the box and say he's worn the leader's jersey at all three Grand Tours, but I don't see it happening. I think elsewhere, they've just got to try to push it for a couple of these sprinters on the squad. Philipsen has ridden the Vuelta a couple of times. 2020 took a stage. 2021 took a stage. Took multiple stages then. And Caden Groves, who's now on the team, took a stage win last year. So they have expertise in the Vuelta. But yeah, I mean, that's got to be the focus here and try to get Grand Tours in the legs of some of their younger riders or maybe more inexperienced youth projects in order for them to really strive in the years to come.
So now we move on to the monuments, the biggest one-day races in the world. And yes, we're including Strade Bianche, of course, in that. Last year, Mathieu van der Poel did phenomenally well, winning the Ronde van Vlaanderen, podium the Milan-San Remo. And yeah, a bit short of his expectation, coming ninth in Paris-Roubaix and Amstel Gold, not a monument, but still coming fourth there, a race he's won previously. How do you see, well, Mathieu van der Poel doing in Paris-Roubaix, Ronde van Vlaanderen, Milan-San Remo, and how can they, who's their best card for Liège-Bastogne-Liège and Île-de-Lombardie?
Well, they've got a very good card for Liège-Bastogne-Liège in Quinten Hermans, who finished in second place last year. He's moved over to the team. It's a natural choice for him. But you do have to say that this team is going to be anchored by Van der Poel throughout this classics calendar. Last year, we saw injury plague his classics run-up and the classics themselves. San Remo was the first one he rode. And there were question marks there, but he still clinched a third place. If we saw a fully fit Van der Poel, 100% he could win Milano Sanremo. He has it in him. He's the kind of rider who could win Sanremo.
Anything Wout van Aert can do, Mathieu van der Poel can do.
I mean, yeah, I say it all the time, and it's true to some extent. I mean, Ronde van Vlaanderen, what else can we say really apart from Sven van der Poel there? He's won it twice already, and he has it in him to win in different scenarios. We saw he won in a four-man sprint and also in a 1v1 with Van Aert in 2020. What I think will be interesting in the classic season is seeing the synergy between Quinten Hermans, Søren Kjær Andersen and Van der Poel. We have the characters already in the squad, the Vermees, the Bont, but seeing these two new characters in Hermans and Kjær Andersen join the squad, that will make it really interesting. They're two guys who can really fight for it within their own right, but might not have the extra edge to win something like Sanremo. But if they're working for and with Mathieu van der Poel in these top-level monuments, it could be very, very exciting. It could bring them on the same level as Jumbo-Visma, as Ineos Grenadiers, to fight for these top-level classics.
Yeah, and when you think about the record that they already have, having won so many, being pro continental, surely this will help them a lot with the extra reinforcement. So before we finish, of course, we're gonna have our predictions, and this episode we're gonna have a rider focused, obviously. What will be the best result for Mathieu van der Poel, Jasper Philipsen, and their new star, Quinten Hermans?
Well, let's begin with Mathieu van der Poel. I believe that he will win the Ronde van Vlaanderen again. For Jasper Philipsen, I believe he will win stage three of the 2023 Tour de France in Bayonne. And finally, Quinten Hermans will. I'd like to see him win a Giro stage. I can't tell you which one. But yeah, it's definitely seeing him fight for something at the Giro would be a highlight for me.
Fair enough. I think Mathieu van der Poel will do the Tour of Flanders Paris-Roubaix double. Maybe not, but we'll see. And he takes a stage in the Tour. Jasper Philipsen doesn't win anything in the Tour, but takes. Actually, no, that's mean. No, he takes what stage? I'll go with you on that one. And Quinten Hermans takes a top five in a monument. Which one? I can't tell you. So with that, that's basically it for our Alpecin-Dukornik preview. Make sure to check out the article as well, which is a more detailed view of what we've been talking about. And of course, as always, subscribe to the channel, comment down below on what you think will be the best result for Mathieu van der Poel in 2023 and his team. And as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.